Good evening, everyone. I've had lots and lots of folks ask me about these masks since the announcement on Thursday by the CDC and on Friday by the governor's direction that if you are vaccinated, it has been 2 weeks, either indoors or outdoors, you no longer have to have those masks on. We'll have this week more information about masks in particular, but I would just say to you, if you feel comfortable and you would like to, and you have reached those, the vaccinations and the 2 weeks, then you're welcome to remove your masks if you like. I want to say also a word of welcome to all of our guests who are with us at the cathedral this evening. It's always a blessing for you to be here with us for Holy Mass, and especially on this great solemnity. So we have been listening over the almost 50 days of the Easter season. There have been many chapters that have occurred as we have listened specifically to the Acts of the Apostles, the formation of the church in the earliest days, in between the resurrection, ascension, and then finally, we will conclude the beautiful season of Easter next Sunday with the great solemnity of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit. We've listened, the apostles, the disciples, all of those who heard the good news, those who were accompanying Christ in many different places, experienced him with many, many things and actions that he gave to people, healings, comfort, all of those things we have been and had the joy of participating in and hearing about over the Easter seasons, all of those chapters. We too have those chapters in our lives, just like the apostles and the disciples, others experienced as they walked this pilgrimage and journey with Christ on earth. Some were excellent and awesome, brought them great happiness and joy. Just like ourselves, because of our humanity and shortcomings at times and limitations, some of those chapters in our lives are a bit more dark, a bit more dreary. For the Acts of the Apostles and the 7 weeks of Easter, the testimony of the apostles during the beginning of our church, after the resurrection, before ascension and Pentecost, the apostles had the very same experience. Shall we review for just a minute? We heard. There was the delight, the amazement of what he was able to do for them. For many, as they walked shoulder to shoulder with Christ on earth, heard that there was the appearance of defeat on Calvary, all that was lost, only two brave souls, courageous enough to stay at the foot of the cross with him. Although there was confusion, if not a bit of chaos, certainly not understanding it all. But then there came the ecstatic experience of the resurrection. The Lord has been raised, proclaimed Mary Magdalene. And now another chapter, they thought they had to say goodbye to him again. But as we heard, most especially in the gospel, the conclusion of the Gospel of St. Mark, something was different for them. There seemed to be a trust, a confidence, a hope. I guess if I had to give a tagline to the solemnity of the Ascension, it would be, look up and look ahead. We've all had that experience of saying goodbye, and what the apostles and the disciples thought they would have to do, but I think from their experience, that trust, that confidence that they had as he ascended to the Father, was once more they were going to say to themselves, it's not over. Now, let's see what the Lord does with this. And they were already beginning to understand, go and preach to all the nations. So the ministry and the life they had shared with him in a more particular way was now going to be their responsibility. So a good question for us in our reflection. Let's see what the Lord does with this. For many years, I have prayed the Pentecost Holy Spirit Novena, in some ways to answer that question for myself on a very personal level. During all those varied chapters in my own life, Pope Benedict would say and write and discuss about a mature faith. Did that many, many years ago. And I remember when I read about it and listened to him, I thought, I'm not sure I know what he's talking about, which was an indication and a clue that I wasn't quite there yet. I didn't have it. It takes that trust, that confidence. Step back. Let's see what the Lord does with this. The Holy Spirit Novena is in honor of the Holy Spirit that we will celebrate next Sunday. It's the oldest of all novenas since it was first made at the direction of our Lord himself when we heard he sent the apostles back to Jerusalem to await for the coming of the Holy Spirit at the very first Pentecost. It's the only novena officially prescribed by the church, of course addressed to the third person of the Blessed Trinity. It's a powerful plea. Powerful plea for light, strength, love, so sorely needed, not only by those original apostles and disciples and followers of Christ, but for every Christian. The word novena means nine, so the novena started on this past Friday. If you'd like to join me, it's pretty easy to catch up. So please do so. See what the Lord does with this. Every year I write down and come up with those gifts of the Holy Spirit, those seven gifts, that in a particular way, this is what I need. This is what I need to see what the Lord will do with this. They become, for us, avenues of grace. First, those seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Charity. The Latin form of the word is caritas. So this year, I'm praying that I can give and receive love with openness, gratefulness, whether I like another person or not, whether they have hurt me or not. Let me be better at charity. Next is joy. I'm going to pray, especially this year, that the grief, the worry, the anxiety can, through the help of God, turn to the joy Christ promised. We remember that line, We heard it not long ago in the Easter season, so that your joy may be complete. Next is peace. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to destroy any distress and let me know that serenity that comes with that very simple prayer. Jesus, I trust in you. Patience. I'm going to pray for that virtue. I want to listen more than talk. I want to learn more. Learn more than lecture with an effort to understand someone in a different way. Kindness. I beg the Holy Spirit to make me kind, to turn my cynicism into what the psalmist would say, sweetness. Faithfulness. I'll pray for faithfulness to live as if nothing can separate me from the love of God. The Easter season has brought us a reminder of that gift. It's there. St. Paul has reminded us, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Gentleness. I'll ask the Holy Spirit to give me the tender heart of the Good Shepherd, to have the resolve to lift others onto the shoulders of Christ. They need to be carried over dangerous waves of suffering, storms of uncertainty. Self-control. I plead with the Holy Spirit to keep me pure, a battle against the shame that comes from sin, disappointment. Goodness, I will go to the Holy Spirit and let him shape my soul and fill my heart with all that is good. We began the Easter season by hearing that. Looked upon all that he had made and said it was very good. So as we await the coming of the Holy Spirit on the great day of Pentecost, pray that ancient prayer of the church. Come, Holy Spirit, for the hearts of your faithful. Kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant them that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.